Moshiach, part three. So we've learned so far first some of the sources about where Moshiach comes from, how he's going to arise, how long it's going to take for him to get here. Yesterday we looked at briefly the idea of who he is, Moshiach ben Yosef, Moshiach ben David. Today, Bezrat Hashem, I want to look at what's he going to do? What's his job? Okay, so let's start with the Rambam. Okay, so start the Rambam. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says the following. If a king, meaning a leader, someone who is in the aspect of a king, arises from the Davidic dynasty, the someone from the Shevet of David, by the descendants of David, right? Who is immersed in Torah and involved with mitzvot like David, his ancestor, right? In accordance with the written and oral Torah. And he leads the Jewish nation to comply with the Torah and strengthen their observance of its laws and fights God's battles. So if we have a person that arises, a king, a leader, that does that, Rambam says we may assume he is the Mashiach. We can assume. Not clear, but we give him a hazaka. We give him a presumption. Guy might be Mashiach. This is the appropriate way. It's not just like, yeah, he is, that's it, let's all go. Right? Sure. Could be. If he does this successfully, he has to do it successfully. If he does this successfully, meaning he successfully strengthens Am Yisrael, he successfully fights the battles, he has success, meaning Hashem's with him. Right? If he makes a campaign now, right, everyone, we're going to Tov, it's the topic of the week. We're going to get rid of iPhones, right? I'm going to get all the Rabbanim together, and the Rabbanim of Goron and Bells and of Satmo, and all the Rabbanim, we're all going to make that, and we're going to, and it's successful, it actually works. Tov. So that means he's got Siyata Dishmai, it's with him. But if he goes and says, guys, let's get rid of the iPhones, Bells, and get this, and nobody listens to him, then Tov, he's not going to be the guy. He has to be successful in what he's doing. Not to say he doesn't have failures, but one of the signs of Moshiach is that he's actually going to, he's got Siyata Dishmai, he's going to be successful in doing it. Someone who's trying, who really, really wants to. Yofi is very good, very praiseworthy, but it's not Moshiach.
Maybe it can be fortune Moshiach too, and he has success.
It can be what?
Fortune, yes.
A false Moshiach. Nahon. Nahon. Could be. But we're learning the of what he needs to have. So there's lots of things he needs to have. He needs to be a Jew. He needs to have. So lots of things that are going to be an equal and common. Even a false one is going to have. Because otherwise he wouldn't be a false Moshiach. Right? He's got to have success. Yeah. He's got to look like it. If he doesn't look like it, he's the real deal. Then there's no test. So he's going to have to copy the real one. Okay, so he needs to have success. And then he builds the holy temple on its original site. And gathers all the dispersed Jews. Then we may be certain that he is Mashiach. So I'm not sure that the Rambam here is giving us a chiddush that you need to be the Rambam to know that. If he builds the temple and he gathers in all the Jews, the Rambam comes to tell you that then for sure he's Mashiach. Oh, I could have maybe worked that out myself. So it might be that that's not the exact chiddush that he's coming to tell us there, because that's a bit obvious. But it may be one way of looking at it could be a not a great Rambamist, and I don't know how to explain him for sure. But it may be that he's saying that not until that happens can you be certain. That's the point when you can be certain. Up until that point, even though He's doing a lot for Israel. He's strengthening people. He's having success. So you can assume, but you can't be certain until he's actually built the temple and brought back all the exiles. Then you know. Then.
A question about that. Yes. Bringing back the exiles with Aliyah. What about the issue of the Arab Rab?
What about them?
Well, with the Arab Rab, they're quote Jewish, but they're actually the Arab Rab.
Yes.
They're in Shamus. So they still want to be in Hutzlarts making all their money.
Some of them are, a lot of them are in here too.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen to them, is your question?
Right.
Don't know. So those who make teshuva will make teshuva, and those who don't make teshuva will probably be killed. I would think from my own head. But there will be the battles. We learn it in Zechariah that on that day on the day when the nations of the world come against Jerusalem, that also the tribe of Yehuda will also come too, right? That Jews will also be a part of that body attacking. So you could say that's a reference to Arab Rab also, right? There's a, it's not a very nice scenario, but we call it civil war, right? The real Jews against. Who knows?
Who would Yehuda be attacked?
Am Yisrael, well, the rest of Am Yisrael, from Yehuda, those people from Yehuda be attacking. Not like all. Can't be all of Yehuda, otherwise there's no one left to attack, because we're only from Yehuda. Right, so it must be that even there are Jews who are still part of the other side. Right, everyone, by the time we get to the end, everyone will be forced to make a choice. Everyone will be forced to make a choice on which side they are. Right, those are for Hashem. What's the pasuk? Eli. Huh? Me and Mila Hashem Eli. Right, who's for Hashem? Come to me. Right, it's the call that Moshe gave after the golden calf. Right, people are going to be pushed further and further to make a choice. We see that society is becoming more polarized, and that's part of the issue. Also for the Arab Rab, and Israel is becoming more entrenched in its positions, like those who are veering towards being religious and Baal Teshuva are now going that way, and those who are not, right? There's a dual process of separating that out. It's not going to be so.
Maybe. Yeah, but even in the throne there, so
maybe two, and everyone will have to choose how that's going to happen. That's in Hashem's hands to figure out, he knows what he's doing, to figure out, to give us whatever tests we need individually or as a nation in order to that we make the right choice, right? It's all free will, everyone has their own choice.
So that also includes Aliyah?
Also includes Aliyah. Aliyah is a big part of the process, right? What we put is a big part of the process of choosing spirituality over materialism. You choose materialism, you stay abroad, loosely speaking. Right, you stay where the money is. You go to Sodom and Gomorrah, where the fields are fertile. Because that's the most important thing for me. Yeah? And people will ultimately make the choice. And anyone who wants to make the choice to be with Hashem will find a way of getting them here. Whether it's on the wings of eagles or through, you know, or on a jumbo jet. Okay, so so then after that, so he's going to rebuild the temple and bring back the dispersed Jews. He will then perfect the entire world and bring all men to serve Hashem in unity. Like it says in Zephaniah? Yes.
Building the third temple.
Yes. It's very difficult.
Because Jew cannot go there in these things. So we have to first need a right
the practicalities of how we build it are not clear. There is two separate opinions. We've got the Rambam, Machloket Rambam Rashi. Rambam, like he says over here, holds that it's going to be built by man. Moshiach will build it. Rambam says Moshiach will build the temple. Be built by man. However, Rashi says the third temple will be built by Hashem Himself. Right? It will kiilu. I mean, we don't know how that happened, but it will kiilu come down or. Right. So, huh? So, how is it actually built? We don't know. So there's also spiritual building, but we'll come to that in a bit. Okay. So it says in Zephaniah, I will then imbue. I will then place it into them. All people with a pure tongue, right, will all speak Lashon HaKodesh. That they may call me in the name of Hashem and all serve him in one manner. Right? We know that the temple is going to be Beiti Beiti Tefillah Lekol Ha'amim, for all the nations. And that's different than the first two. The third temple is different in that it's a temple for all the nations. The first two temples were temples for just the Jews. The Goyim offered sacrifices, but it wasn't their temple. But the third temple is for the whole world. And Am Yisrael are the nation of Kohanim, who serve Hashem and have that position. But the rest of the world is all going to be unified in serving Hashem, because the knowledge of Hashem will cover the world. So the righteous Gentiles will also be there and enjoy the whatever's going on. Okay, so in a nutshell, Moshiach's mission is to conquer the entire world and place it under Hashem's control. Give Hashem back the kingship. Hashem is the Melech, is the kingship, is the king. And Moshiach's task is to crown him, to put him back in his position as in charge of the world, everything. There's only Hashem. Hashem is. How's he going to do that? How's he going to do that? But Hashem's help. So, Rabbi Nachman tells us in, it's written in one of the books called Siach Sarfei Kodesh, which is conversations that were written down by Rav Natan. Moshiach will conquer the entire world without firing a single shot. One of the famous statements of Rav Nachman. Moshiach will conquer the entire world without firing a shot. Right, we're not. Firing shots is kochi the achsem yadi. It's like, it's the complete opposite of what we're trying to do here. We're trying to say that the whole world is Hashem's, and you don't do that by having the biggest gun, the biggest missile, the strongest army. Right? That's all teva. That's all derech teva. That's all. It's what we're trying to get away from. That's the. So Moshiach can't come along with. The new supply of F-16s from the Americans, and go around bombing everyone, defeat the object, right? So how do we conquer the entire world, right? How or more to the effect, we're actually not going around conquering at that point. If we follow Zechariah, we're going to be trying to save ourselves from the entire world, the 70 nations coming against the Lamb. 70 wolves against the one lamb, right? They're all coming against us. So how are we going to win that battle? So not through any military means. Through what? Through prayer. Torah bet likutei moran. Beginning of Torah bet likutei moran. Ki ikar klei zeino shemashiach. The main weapon of Mashiach hu tefillah, is tefillah. Good one to explain why and how Yofi, how he knows that, where it's brought from. But it's tefillah. Tefillah is what is going to conquer the entire world. Tefillah is what we were meant to do. It's what originally, if Moshe come into Eretz Israel, could well have been Moshiach. and that would have been it. Why didn't Moshe come into Eretz Israel? Because he made a mistake at the when he hit the rock instead of speaking to it. What do we learn from there? Why was that Mida Keneged Mida? It has to be Mida Keneged Mida. Because he didn't speak to the rock. He means speaking to the rock. What's that going to do with coming into Eretz Israel? Because the true aspect of Eretz Israel is prayer, is speaking. If you want to get something done, you don't use kokivots in yada, you don't hit the rock. You need to speak to it, you need to pray. From your words, that's how you achieve. Right? We saw there that when he hit the rock, something interesting should have been the fact that when he hit the rock, nothing happened. Right? Because Hashem said, speak to it. And he didn't, and he hit it. And it still worked, which is bizarre. Right? He went directly against Hashem, and it still worked. The water still came out. Why? So we learned from there that kokivots in yada also works. It's not what Hashem wants, but it also works. But what Hashem wants is for us to use our mouths to pray, to ask. And if Moshe would have done that, then he would have brought that concept into Am Yisrael. We would have seen that. We would have had that understanding of words bring results. But instead we didn't. Instead we got the understanding that if you hit it, use your force, that's what brings results. And that's what we need to reject, and we need to replace it with the true understanding, which is that it should be through words, through prayer. That's how we achieve the results, and that should also be our own weapon. It's interesting that the Lukatei Moran starts, our bet says, please say Noshe Moshiach Tefillah. The weapon of Moshiach is Tefillah. And if we look in the Likutei, the Kitzur Lukatei Moran, which was also written by Rav Natan during the lifetime of Rabbi Nachman. And what's this? The short form, basically is all the Torahs in order, same thing, but it just gives you the essence. So it takes out all the proofs. So whereas actually reading the Likutei Moran, he says, you learn that from Tehillim, and you bring it from this source, and that learns from here, and you learn from here. So he skips all that, he just tells you the boom, boom, boom. So interestingly, when you open Bet, of Likutei Moran, of the Kitzur, he starts as follows: Ikur Kli Zayin, the main weapon, shall Ish Yisraeli, hu tefillah. Right? And he continues with B'chol Hamilchamot, and all the wars Shetzarich Adam Lichvosh, that a person needs to conquer. Hem Milchamot Yitzhara, Hen Sharei Milchamot, whether the wars of the Yitzhara or other wars. Im Hamonim, Ahokim, people who try to prevent him or to argue against him. I call Ayudei Tefillah. Everything is through prayer. Right? So, just like Moshiach, it's not just that Moshiach is winning the wars through prayer. The idea is that Am Yisrael also get to that point. Right? We need to get back to the point of winning our battles by prayer. Right? Which is what our rabbi is teaching us, what Rav Nachman is teaching us. The main thing is to pray for everything, to know that where everything comes from, and to know that difficulty. You're in a stressful situation right now. I've got no money, I've got no credit card, the bank's not giving me anything. What do I do? I can either pray for that help, or I can try and get some money from someone, somewhere, somehow. Yofi. And we know that in a stressful situation, 9 times out of 10, we're going to go with what appears to be the easy answer, the more, you know, the cocky dot in yadi, that I'm going to try and do it myself. But ultimately, the answer is to get to a place where we can turn to Him. Ultimately. Right? And that's Moshiach's job. Moshiach's job is twofold. Firstly, it's to be the figurehead that conquers the nations through His own prayer. He's at such a high level that his prayer is amazing and achieves results like subduing all the nations or whatever, etc. But also to teach us the same thing. To teach us the power of prayer. So that's where we need to be holding. But we don't need to, right, in the towns of Mashiach, we're not going to be going out to work. It's not the plan. It's not the plan that Am Yisrael works. And the nations of the world do the plow the soil and pick the grapes and whatever else they need to do. Our job is the prayer.
So we won't have the laws of Shemitah, Pena, and all that?
Why not?
It'll be our land.
It'll be the food will be coming from the rest of the world.
No, but we may still have, like, the law of Shemitah, for example, is that you have to let the land lie fallow for
everyone.
And things for the poor. So there's a question about whether there still be poor people or not at the time of Mashiach. Whether or not they will be. What does it mean? What does it mean that they're poor? Because everyone will have everything they need. Don't know. There is views that there will still be poor people. Certainly at some point. In order maybe that we can still keep those laws going, and it's their continued rectification.
Well, Shemitah's not only for the poor. That's a different part.
For the land.
It's for the Shabbat.
It's nachon for the Shabbat. It's to teach Am Yisrael Emunah that you can, you know, that Hashem is looking after you, that you don't need to worry, that you leave it alone and Hashem will bring it. Right, so we know from Masechet Brachot that Joel mentions a lot, that it says there at the beginning in Daf Vav that what is the things at the height that, the heights of the world that people Malaz bears, and it says Rashi says over there prayer, that means prayer. It's the top thing that people don't give credit for. We don't give credit for the power of prayer. We don't understand it. We don't believe it. Whatever the reason is, we can get everything through prayer. Everything, anything. Right? We saw that Moshe Rabbeinu could have overturned Hashem's own decree that you not come into Eretz Yisrael through prayer. Kal vachomer, I can get my salary. Right? No, Hashem didn't come out and decree against me that I'm not getting something. Right? So it's not such a big... He could have. Hashem said, stop, you do one more, I'm going to have to let you in. You see that Hashem is beholden to prayer. Hashem said, if you do one more prayer, I'm going to have to let you in, and I've got no choice, even though I don't want to. But you should know I don't want you to do that. So Moshe said, okay, I understand you don't want me to do it, I'm not going to. But he could have, just through his prayer. Hashem is beholden to the prayer. If you pray enough for anything, you have to get it.
You
said you're not going
to. Things, so you have to go to do. But let's say you pray for something and now the day is coming and you're not getting it.
So it means I haven't prayed enough.
To pay the rent.
It means I haven't paid enough. Let's say...
Yeah, but
it's not for me to set the amount. So what happens? The truth is, I could pray for my parnasa and Hashem would give it to me. That's a given. So what actually happens... I say, I prayed for my panasa, and I didn't get it, and I had to go out for work. Why? Because what happened, the dogma, I'm not saying this is all the cases, but an example. What happened, the day before my rent became due, and I needed the money, I shem, for an hour, 2 hours, and nothing happened at all. If I would have prayed the whole month, like Hashem wanted me to, then I would have gotten there, but it wasn't enough. I didn't do what I needed to do. The amount of prayer, everything that we need has a level about what we need to achieve it. And me getting worried at the end of the month and saying, Hashem, please help me out now, it may or may not be enough. Maybe enough. Depends on what Hashem's wants me to learn, what he wants me to work on. And he's going to say, no, that's not enough. Next time, if you want to do it, you're going to have to do more than that because you actually didn't. What the prayer has to be... The prayer is fixing me. If I didn't get fixed, I didn't do anything.
Yeah,
right? Lehit palel is a reflexive verb. Right? It's a reflexive to change oneself. Right? The famous question is, if Hashem decides everything, and he's decided for me right now that I get 5,000 shekels a month, and I need more than that. So if it's good for me, he'll give it to me. And I don't need to pray for it. And if it's not good for me, he won't give it to me. So there's no point praying. And if I pray, what am I doing anyway? I'm trying to change his mind? So according to that interpretation, so what's the answer to that, Kusha? The answer is, until I pray, I only deserve to get 5,000. I wasn't at a level to get anymore. But once I pray, I change myself. I'm now not the same person I was. I'm now a different person. And now the new Reuven, the new improved, more humble Reuven, who can now receive an extra 2,000 shekels a month. So my prayer changed me. It didn't change Hashem. Hashem is not, knows what he's doing. He knows that 5,000 shekels is good for me right now. And he knows that 7,000 is not good for me, because if he gives it me now, I'm just going to get arrogant and spend it on whatever I'm going to spend it on. But if I pray on it and I become a different person, I change myself, then now I've got a vessel that Hashem can give me more without it damaging me. He wants to give me, just needs me to grow into the to fit the gift, to fit the price. So the aspect of prayer is really twofold. We might think that, yeah.
Throughout Jewish history, righteous people pray for some very simple things, and yet the Jewish people has been faced over thousands of years with people trying to destroy us. And a lot of people who are destroyed were very righteous people who were praying only for Amisrael.
Okay.
So
it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. Moshe saved Am Yisrael through his prayers. But he was Moshe Rabbeinu. And he went up the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights without sleep. Right? So that's a lot of sha'ot of his bodedut, without food and without water and without sleep. 40 hours in order to save Am Yisrael. So when it came to, for example, the Holocaust and great Gedolim praying, it wasn't enough. But for sure, if Moshe Rabbeinu was here, Moshiach was there. And that's what Moshiach's going to have to do. When Moshiach comes, we're going to be in a similar situation, according to the prophecies. We're going to have 70 nations all coming at us, ready to destroy us. And Moshiach is going to stand there, and like Moshe Rabbeinu, he's going to save us through his prayers.
With that, Moshe Rabbeinu saved us from being wiped out, but for reasons was unable to stop a large majority. Came out everybody dying before they got into Eretz Yisrael, because it was a gezerah that it was not good for Am Yisrael if those who came, most of those who came out of Egypt, were the ones who came in and supposedly attempt to conquer the land. They would not have been able to. They were not up to it.
Okay?
The other thing is, in the Shoah, there were some tzaddikim that tried to stop the Shoah, and Malachim were sent to them and said, you're capable of doing it, but it'll be worse if you stop it. Because there's a deed of being wiping out, and the ones that are going to die is at a discount. And if you cancel discount, it'll come back at full price. And so they stopped doing the tikkunim to stop the Shoah.
Okay. Look, and it's interesting that we didn't see, we're after the chet of the spies, we didn't see Moshe praying to another degree.
Right.
So it was just, it was clearly what was needed.
Yeah. Unfortunate, but needed. The Shoah was unfortunate, but needed. I learned from Rav Peretz, that they were Gilgulim of the Dor HaMidbar, as well as the Dor of the Flood. The Dor of the Flood, the Dor of the Tower, the Dor of the Flood, were all in Gilgulim in the Dor HaMidbar, and they still had to finish the tikkun and had to go through the Shoah.
Okay.
And what about now? If the first, if the last redemption is like the first redemption, and 80% of Jews did not make it out of Egypt, and we still have what percentage of Jews are still in the Hutzlarts?
It's definitely possible. They're the prophecies. We know that negative prophecies don't have to come true. But we also know that in order for negative prophecies not to come true, we need some foot. So that's why our rabbi is praying the Mashiach isn't coming. Because we're trying to build that zechut now. You see, right? All of the people sitting in this class, right? If Mashiach had come 5 years ago, we wouldn't be here. Sitting in this class, who knows where we would be, who knows where I would be, right? Who knows if we would have made the boat, right? But now Moshiach's been postponed, And therefore we have people here doing what we can. We have Rav Arush in the last 5 years, 10 years, 5 years less, 5 or 6 years, Rav Arush has put out into the world a couple of million books on Emuna, right? Which is making a huge effect. If you subtract that merit and bring us back, turn back the clock 5 years, you know, Baruch Hashem that we've had that. So the purpose is obviously to get Moshiach as soon as possible, but there's a balance between whether or not it's worth it right now. Right?
But the clock is ticking. You did say in the first lecture that there's a deadline.
There is a deadline where Hashem says, we've reached that point, it's time to go. Right? And then whatever happens to be at that stage happens to be. Right? We know that Moshiach has two times. Moshiach has Be'ita Va'achishena. Be'ita Va'achishena. It says in the Pasuk in... which Navi? Don't know. One of the Navi. So it says that Moshiach will come Be'ita Achishena. In his time, I will hasten it.
When we look it up.
Huh?
When we look it up.
No.
Isaiah.
Huh?
Isaiah.
Yofi. It's one of the Isaiah, Zechariah. It's one of the main Moshiach Nabiim. Right? So in its time, I will hasten it. So the commentators learn from here. There's two times. There's in its time, or I will hasten it. It's in its time, which is at the end point, the last possible moment, which may well be 6,000 years. May well be, for example. So that's the last possible chance. And at that time, he has to come. Or if you merit it earlier, I can bring it forward. Just like Hashem brought forward the Geula from Mitzrayim, it was meant to be 410 years. And in fact, it turned out to be 270.
210.
400 and then 210.
400 to 210. Yofi, okay. From 400 to 210. Right? Brought it forward, but then we calculated, so it was still 400, but just from, right? Just move the clock back. So too, Hashem can do the same thing on this Geula. Depends on what the reason is, right? There's two reasons. One is either we merit it, or because, like in Mitzrayim, we couldn't last any longer. Right? It just got too. We were about to be lost, chas v'shalom. Right? So we had to go now. Otherwise, we're not going to go at all. Right? So that can also be a reason for bringing it forward.
What combination thereof?
Well, the other question is, during the Shoah, the gates to Eretz Israel were closed by the British.
Okay.
Yamach Shemach.
Not all of them.
Hmm?
Yeah,
those
are. And
the
will there be a repeat with the gates closing from the U.S.?
We don't know. Look, with the prophecy says that what we said yesterday, Mashe Yah Hushiyeh, that was is what will be as well. Right, in the future. So what aspect of the Geula will be the same? We don't know. Hopefully the good bits and not the bad bits. Right? And everything will be fulfilled. It was just a question of how they'll be fulfilled. Right? It can be fulfilled in a sweet way. Right? We can sweeten the judgment, sweeten the din. Everything can change.
But with the gates closed, are people still let in?
There's
my mother's father got forged permission papers to get out of Europe and into Israel. He got them printed by thousands. And my father swam in from Kalama out at sea with some friends. Came on a legal boat from Cyprus and swam. They came as close as they could to be that the British wouldn't see the boat coming in at nighttime. And from there they swam to the shore of his what's it called, Zichron Yaakov, and were collected there by people from the Irgun, and were sort of disappeared into the population.
Right. So we're going to come back to the concept of prayer. Prayer is what's going to conquer the world in both ways. It's going to conquer the world in a military, strategic, fashion, if you like. It's going to save us from big bombs. But it's going to conquer world, more importantly, in terms of bringing Amunah. Right? The whole purpose, and we said that the Rambam holds that nothing will change except the subjugation of the nations. Right? The essence of Mashiach depends on how, whether it's miracles or it's not miracles. But the essence is that Hashem's knowledge and fills the world. That his presence fills the world. So that's the idea of Mashiach. Not that we're in charge and that the nations are back in their place, so to speak. Right? So how does that happen? That happens through prayer, through Am Yisrael speaking to Hashem, through that connection, through asking Hashem for our needs and not using Derech HaTeva. Right? Nachman talks a lot about Sefer Chitzoni, the external wisdom. External wisdoms are the wisdoms of the world, which is loosely science, politics,
philosophy,
geography, right? All the modern day, there's nothing wrong with science, right? But you have to know what its place, and science is the new God, right? We have to know that it's like coffee, but it still works, right? Oil still lights when you light it, but so too can vinegar, right? We have to know that so too can vinegar. Science says vinegar doesn't light, and that's why that way it falls down. It also works. It's an also. It's not an only. Right? It also works, right? Because that's Derech HaTeva that Hashem created, and that works. But it's not the only thing. So a person who relies on the external wisdoms as the truth, meaning the only truth, that's what the world is based on, is missing Hashem, right? And it's therefore Jew should stay away from those things until he's completely filled with, right? Until he's filled with Torah and right? They ask about the Rambam. Rav Dor told this. It's a nice story. I ask about the Rambam. But the Rambam learned philosophy. So if he learns philosophy, why can't I? Right? Ooh. So, which is a very bad mistake. So the Rav Dor gave the example. I apologize to those who heard it last time, but it's worth telling again. Right, of the example of the cleaner in the king's palace. Cleaner, Amar Aretz, didn't know nothing. Very simple person. Cleaning the king's palace. One day, comes to work, and he sees that the king's installing a new room in one of the wings of the palace. And he looks to see what they're doing. There's some craftsmen there. They're making a toilet. He says, "What's a toilet? I've never seen one of these things before." Mm. So they explain to him what a toilet is, and what its function is, and we're going to install it here in this nice new room that we're creating here in the palace, and it's for the king. And the cleaner thinks, "Wow, that's great!" And he runs home. He tells his wife. He says, "We've got to get one of these things. It's called a toilet." And he explains what it's for and how it's really good. And the wife says, "Yeah, sounds great. So let's get one. Let's make one." And he said, "I saw what they did. It's quite easy. We just need to make a little." So he made one, and he put it there, in the middle of the living room. Mm. Like their living room is also their kitchen, which is also where they sleep, because they only have one room, because they're poor. Mm. So it's their and in the middle of a toilet. Obviously, they learned that was a big mistake. So what was the difference? It was okay for the king to make one, but not okay for me. So this is the analogy of the Rambam. Rambam said, the people who give the analogy about the Rambam, the Rambam had a palace with many different rooms, all separated off. And he was able to have a room separated off philosophically. And it didn't contaminate everything else. But if I try and learn philosophy, I've only got one room, right? I'm very poor in mind. And if I try and put something like that in the middle of my one room, I'm going to foul up everything, right? Person who is not at the level of the Rambam and tries to learn, let's call it philosophy, right, is going to wreck up everything else. He's going to destroy his Torah learnings, everything. It's all good because it's all going to, wait a minute, that's what I will learn. It's going to make all, it has its own, right?
Some kind of connection between philosophy and
Torah. He might try and make some kind of connection there. And then, right, it's very, very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. Rav Nachman is very strong against being very careful to stay well away from it. He says even Torah commentators, there are even Torah commentators that he says, and your average Jew, and he was talking to his students who were more than an average Jew, should stay away from. Why? Because they bring up difficulties without resolving them. Which is fine if you're at that level of the Kushya. But if you're not at the level of the Kushya, and you read a Kushya that's really good, and it makes you think, and it's not just hypothetical. I used to live in Gush Etzion, in the Vei Daniel, 4 years ago, I moved from there. When I lived in the Vei Daniel, my wife was friendly with one of our neighbors. She was a woman of, I don't know, probably 50s. Few children. No husband. Why? They divorced. She's from the Vei Daniel is a from community. Born Orthodox. What happened? Her husband used to be from too. And one day, he decided, you're wrong. Why? He was learning the parasha with commentaries. And one of those commentaries, which happens to be in the list that Rav Nachman mentioned to stay away from. And he read one, and he was on the bottom of his page. And he read it, and it caused him a problem. And he thought about it, and he struggled with it. And she told my wife, she'd never read Rabbi Nachman, she never knew the Rabbi Nachman section. She told my wife that's what led to the divorce. He dropped his duties and stopped davening, right? Mamash, it's not just, it's...
Where does he read this?
I don't know. Maybe in...
I don't know.
I think in... if you look in... Leonard, if you look in Sadik, Arab Kramer. It's a comment. If you should play in the conversation, see if around on one of those. Maybe. I think there's in there. Anyway, how do we go up there? Don't know. Tom, what are we doing, Tom? Yofi. So, prayer. Am Israel need to come back to prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is the essence of humility. Why do I pray? I pray when I need help. And I don't pray when I don't need help. Effectively. That's how we're built. Right? When there's no atheist in a foxhole. Why? Because they really need Hashem at that moment. Right? When your back's against the wall, you call out for Hashem, help, right? But you don't do that if you don't think you need help. What does it mean I don't think I need help? I'm handling the situation, it's all under control. I take out the piece of plastic. I write a check. It's all under control. I've got this one covered. Don't worry, thank you. Right? It's a great joke. Guy's driving around in his car. And he's trying to get to a meeting. He's looking and he's getting late for the meeting. And he's looking for parking space. He can't see any parking space anywhere. And he's getting later and later. It's an important business meeting and he's going to miss it. And it's going to be a problem. He says, Hashem, please help me find a parking space. Hashem, please, if you find me a parking space, I promise, I'll come. He says, I'm going to come to shul every day. I'm going to give charity. And Hashem, I'm going to learn. And he starts giving. As he finishes speaking, a car pulls out just in front of the building where he needs, in the perfect space. He looks up to Hashem. He says, "It's all right, Hashem. I've got it covered." If we think that we can do it ourselves, we don't need him. The essence of prayer is that we turn to him because we know it's not us. We know I can't. It's not me. By Rav Natan writes that we need to pray for everything. Even if something that we think we know is fine, we got covered. That we should know it comes from Hashem. The greatest thing to know is that whatever is happening right is coming from Hashem. Hashem, thank you for this check that they're giving me at the end of the month for my salary. I know it was written by the boss, but I know I have to know it came from you. Thank you for this glass of water. I know it came out of the tap downstairs in the coffee room, but it's from you, Hashem. Thank you for it. Right? To know that everything comes from Hashem, the prayer is humility. The prayer is recognizing that it comes from Hashem. I'm saying thank you to Hashem. and recognizing where it came from. And that's what, that's the function of my prayer, which is the opposite from where we otherwise could be walking, which is that I'm a reality, that I'm creating stuff, I'm doing stuff, that it's all me. That most of it's me. Anything's me. Anytime I think it's me, I'm making mistakes, it's not me. Even if I think it's me, it's not me.
Why is simcha? What's the mitzvah gedolah? What's the big mitzvah in being happy? Please be happy, everything you know. I'm happy, I got up this morning, I had a nice breakfast, I had this. So the mitzvah of happiness is not when things are going for you. The mitzvah of happiness is when you have to turn towards things aren't going your way.
Right.
You have to be happy then. That's the mitzvah gedolah.
Right. So that's really the aim of Mashiach, is to bring prayer back into the world. Bringing prayer back into the world rectifies everything, because it puts us back into where we're meant to be. Puts us back into Hashem is charge, king, in control of everything. And we are servants, slaves, sons, whatever you want to call it, to Him. Because we're praying, and we recognize that through prayer, we create that paradigm, that framework through prayer. Bezrat Hashem, Shach will come soon and teach us all how to pray properly.